Good morning. It's Monday morning, the 23rd of March, 2015. It's Paul O'Mahony saying welcome, and I'm with a man who's recently started to do quite a bit of public speaking. And I happen to know that he did his first ever public speech on the island of Guernsey sometime last year, but that he recently did his first ever public speech in Ireland. John Sweeney, would you like to introduce yourself and say what you've been doing recently?
Thanks, Paul. I suppose really what I've been doing recently is talking to large groups of people who seem to enjoy the message that I have to get across. As you mentioned, my first time ever doing that was last October in Guernsey. Recently I got asked to launch a project in my own local community in Fermoy in Cork, which was an initiative called Friendship Week. So the idea is through various different things they have going on in the community for the next week, but the idea is to get people interacting more with everyone in the community, whether they're young or retired or whatever, just to get people connecting. And they very kindly asked me to speak at the launch of it last Wednesday in Fermoy. So there was a good group of people turn up. I think there was over 120 people at the event. There could have been more, actually. Look, it seemed like more when I was up the top speaking, but it was a lovely morning. Some wonderful people spoke there. We had a couple of lovely songs from a gentleman from the retirement club and stuff, and yeah, it was a lovely morning. So
let me ask you, John, how long did you speak for?
I spoke for around, I think, maybe 20 minutes, I think they said, in Fermoy. So I think it was about 20 minutes mark by the time I got dragged off stage.
John, you were speaking in public for the first time in Ireland, right? Mm-hmm. With hardly any previous experience of public speaking.
Yeah.
What I'd really like to ask you is, you know, what helped you on that first occasion here in Fermoy, in your own local town? What helped you to be able to get through it?
What helped me? What helped me? Do you know, I was pretty nervous about it, actually, Paul, as I mentioned to you earlier. I was incredibly nervous about it, actually. But I really kind of worked myself into a state of mind whereby I was thinking I was going to do something wrong or I wasn't going to get it right. But then I suppose I kind of grounded myself a little bit and said that it's my story. I've been there during each and every part of it. So if anybody knows it, then it's me. So I suppose that was really what helped me. To be honest with you, Paul, you know, rather than kind of having to write out an entire script that I had to memorise every single word, because I'm not sure that's where my skills lie in doing things like that. But
did you write a script out?
No, God, no. Writing a script out will probably be the last thing I'll ever do. I just kind of told the story. And as the fella says, it's my story, so nobody knows it better than I do. So yes, no, I'm script free.
Did you stand in front of the mirror and tell the story to yourself, or did you tell it to your friends or your, you know, people in your life? Did you practice telling the story?
I did. I actually practiced it probably about four or five times before I actually did it. Now I just did it for a couple of friends my wife wouldn't let me actually do it in front of her because she wanted to see it for the first time in Fermoy. So we had an argument or two about that, but which, as always happens, she won. So I kind of did it in front of a couple of friends, really, but there was no script. I had no slides either. I just literally just practiced a couple of times, but that was more for nerves for myself, really, so I wouldn't be, you know, as nervous when I actually stood up, because one of the things that happens to me when I'm nervous is I add like 30 words to sentences that only need 3 or 4 or 5 you know. So it was trying to condense it all and keep it in a tight time frame was the biggest struggle I had, really.
And you went on then from that speech in your local town to going up to the capital of Ireland, to Dublin, to speak on Sunday, the Sunday we've just had.
No, actually last Friday.
Oh, Friday.
Friday, yeah,
Friday.
20th of March.
Tell us about that. Tell us about that speech then.
So, yeah, so that speech then was for World Happiness Day, which was the 20th of March. It's a UN initiative which really Ireland has only kind of really properly got on board this year, with the wonderful Dr. Mark Rowe, who decided to have an entire day based around it in Dublin to celebrate it.
Now, so Dr. Mark Rowe is a medical doctor from Waterford in the southeast of Ireland.
Yeah, he has a medical centre down in Waterford. He's doing some really, really incredible things down there. And he recently published his book as well, which coincided with the launch of World Happiness Day. But his book is actually called A Prescription for Happiness, which is a prescription pretty much everyone could benefit from, I'm sure. But incredible, incredible gentleman. And he got some really, really great people together to have this event for World Happiness Day last Friday. The proceeds, I think, went to Barnardo's children's charity in Dublin as well, which was wonderful. He got some pretty great people together to speak at it.
How many people were there, first of all?
How many people were in the audience? There was probably over 200 easily enough, anyway, I think, at the actual event.
So you went up and you spoke for how long in front of 200 people?
I spoke for there about 15 minutes, I'd say, by the time I eventually got my microphone.
tell us the story of what the speech was like.
So, yeah, so there was two speakers before me. Jory Hussey, who's a performance coach, he's worked with the Irish team, or the Munster team, and Sonia O'Sullivan and some more incredible athletes. But the second person speaking in was a wonderful lady with an incredible story herself by the name of Nora Casey. Nora's an extremely tough cookie, I suppose, maybe for the want of a better description. She's really, really an inspiring lady with her story and what she's been through, and to actually be somebody who's running 11 different companies, I think, now at this stage. So they were two speakers before me, so I had a pretty big stage to live up to, really, and they both spoke for 45 minutes, and both of them really, really enjoyed both their talks. But there was supposed to be a break then, and I was supposed to come on after the coffee break, but it turns out there was a little bit of confusion, and the coffee break never materialised. And while I was kind of halfway over to the bathroom, I realised my name was after being called, and I was being asked to come up on stage. So I made my way up onto stage without a mic. I should have been mic'd up at the time. I was without a mic or without a clicker for my slides, and but thrown up in front of a room of people who maybe 30 of them had gone to the bathroom because they thought there was a coffee break. So it was an interesting opening, but I suppose one that prepared me for for what to do when things go wrong. So that was quite funny, but.
And tell me, was the speech you gave in Dublin at World Happiness Day, was that the same speech that you gave locally, or did you vary it for the different audience?
It was a little bit varied, but the message, the core message was pretty much the exact same, but just slightly varied. But the overall message really was the same, and it's the same talk. Well, obviously, I'm going to do it a little bit different for TEDx this week, but it's been kind of leading up to TEDx. I've been seeing what's kind of worked well for me, and using what's worked well. But I mean, being confident enough to use maybe what hasn't worked as well as I expected either, because that's still an important part of the story. So I've the TEDx one now, which is going to be it's.
Well, let's leave TEDx for a second. I just want to try to tap into your experience of having done two speeches recently.
Yeah.
What sort of feedback or comments have you had from other people about what's helped your speeches to work?
Yeah. I think the main message that I've been getting back from people really is that the whole story is incredibly inspiring. There was one lady actually remarked to me that she really, really loved my use of plain English. How there wasn't any major big fancy words, and it was a message that everyone could understand. And at that point, I explained to her that was the only language I knew. So that was interesting. But the overwhelming message really is that it's completely inspired people. An awful lot of people have remarked that
their entire day was changed, and even a few people remarked that their lives have been changed as a result of the talk and how they interact with people. And it really, really kind of got the message home, which really was the kindness is something that everyone benefits from.
And if I was to ask you to summarise your key message in, you know, a few pithy phrases, what would be the summary that you'd give?
I think I said something to you earlier about like my idea really is that everybody, doesn't matter where you're from or who you are, everybody's had somebody be mean to them and or whatever in their lives, and everybody's had somebody who's been kind to them. Now, if you were to put those two feelings up there right in front of you, which one do you prefer? And I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, everybody wants people to be kind to themselves or kind to them. And I mean, it's something that doesn't hurt anyone. It's something that benefits everyone. So why not be that? And why not, you know, put your faith in it? Even in the days where you're having a really, really bad day and you're driving your car and you want to beep at somebody who nearly pulled out in front of you, just maybe trust in it, and trust in that person could be in a rush somewhere to get a sick child or whatever. You don't know, like, you know. And just to start and put that actual trust in the whole philosophy of kindness, even when it's a bit hard to do, because it is. It's not something that you can go around doing easily every single day, but it's something that if you trust it, even in the days that you don't believe in it, it's going to benefit you, and it's going to benefit everyone else that you come into contact or maybe don't come into contact with, do you know? So yeah, that seems to be the summary of it, maybe. Yeah.
So just going back over it, you've had a local experience, you've had a national experience, and now you're going to go on and do what I would call an international experience on Guernsey, and you're going to talk at what's called TEDx.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about when are you going to do it, by the way? How many days are we away from you doing it?
I'm going over to Guernsey on Wednesday, and the talk is going to be on Thursday.
Right, okay.
See, interesting actually that you said there's been a local, a national, and now an international. I was actually quite relaxed about it till you phrased it like that, Paul. Thank you. But it is actually. I really didn't think of it like that.
Well, look, give us a preview. Give us a little, a bit of advance summary of what you're going to say. I mean, you're going to speak for TED. Anything to do with TED is about
under 18 minutes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and I imagine it'll be a day of several people speaking.
Yeah, I think there's 12 or 15 speakers in total. There's some really, really incredible people are speaking at the event. There's the founder of Positive News in the UK is one of the speakers. I know there's another incredible gentleman by the name of Mike Dickinson, who's the founder of the Rainmaker Foundation, is speaking there. So there's really, really some amazing people lined up to speak, and I really am privileged to be among them.
Well, very good. That sounds very good. Give us an idea then. So what are you going to talk about? What's your message for TEDx?
Yeah, so I'm going to have three simple little messages that I want people to take away. There's going to be three things that I'm going to ask them to incorporate into their life, which is give you a little bit of a sneak preview. The first one is to inspire kindness. So we need to inspire kindness in others. The second one is to share kindness. So the idea is that you need to share the stories of kindness because it creates a ripple effect. And the third is to be kinder to yourself.
So let me see if I got those right. So you inspire kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You... hang on. Oh, God, you'll have to summarise them for me again. Inspire kindness.
Yeah.
I know the last one is be kind to yourself.
Yeah, and the middle one is to share kindness.
Share kindness.
Yeah.
Right. So they're your three. They work. So inspire it, share it, and be kind to yourself.
Yeah. I think especially with the be kind, well, not especially, but with the be kind to yourself, I mean, that's something everybody struggles with. We're all our own biggest critics. And perhaps if we were a little bit kinder to ourselves, that would really have a huge impact in all and everything that you do, really. It's something that I've struggled with quite a lot. I still struggle with it.
How are you going to get your point across? I mean, is it... what's your... your form of presentation going to be like?
So I have a couple of stories that happened to me or were involved in things that I was involved in recently that I really tell the story of each message that I'm going to get out there. So I'm going to tell a little bit of a story in how these things happened and the impact that it had, not just in my life but in everyone else who was involved. So I think it's something that everyone right across the board will be able to relate to. I hope so anyway. They have so far, so I know after speaking in Guernsey previously, I mean, it's not just an incredible island, it's full of really, really amazing people.
So you're going to get your 3 points across and you're going to use stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
why are you going to use stories to get your points across?
Because that, to me, is the most real and I suppose the strongest way I have of getting the message across for me personally. It's something that I relate to. It's something that I understand the best. So I think for it to work, I think that's the best way for me to kind of go, is to go down that route, because it is me. There's no point trying to be somebody else and saying it in a way, maybe presenting it in a way that other people would, because it's not me. Like, as you know from meeting me, Paul, I probably work a little bit differently than a lot of people. So what's the point in trying to be something else? I've done that all my life and it's never worked for me, and it's only when I'm being me and I'm, like you say, like I'm telling these stories and stuff, that the people are really, really getting my message. So I suppose.
And when you're doing it, I mean, when you're preparing for it, do you spend any time thinking of a catchy beginning and a sexy ending?
No, I actually don't. It's quite funny how it comes about, really, because when I started to prepare for my talk a couple of weeks ago, I said, right, what am I going to speak about? I mean, this is a TEDx talk. Look at these amazing people who've spoken there. Sir Ken Robinson, even Mark Gwynne and Darren Robson's talks. Do you know, these are incredible people. How can I ever live up to them and to what they did with their talk? Do you know? And I said, you know what? If I tried to, I wouldn't be doing myself justice. I said, so how can I live up to John Sweeney? You know, how can I live up to my story and to my message? And I just literally took the time in my head to think about, right, what's my message, what is it about. I watched a load of TED Talks and I just literally, over the course of a couple of weeks, every time something popped into my head, I wrote it down. And I suppose I got to the point 2 weeks ago where I had a lot of stuff written down, little notes, and I said, right, what's the overwhelming message here, what have I been taking notes for? And it just kind of jumped up off of the page to me, really. And had the ingredients for my TED talk, and I just need to find a way to tell it.
And tell me, is there anything that I'm getting to the end now in the conversation with you about this, but I'm just wondering, what could go wrong? What could be a disaster, John? What would really spoil it for you?
So what could go wrong, or what would be a disaster, is I'd never have got to this point, where I'd never have in a million years went to travel over to Guernsey, where I'd have believed I couldn't do it, I shouldn't do it, I can't do it. That would have been a disaster. I mean, I wouldn't like to be speculating now about what could go wrong, because, geez, when I'm up in the plane and there'll be a load of turbulence, I'll be cursing you, Paul. But, once I can go and do it, and speak, you know, that's what I want to do. It's taken a long time in my life to get to this point. And, you know, just being up there and just doing it and being me and getting my message out there is going to be a success for me personally. How successful it is obviously depends on how relaxed I am on the day, because I really do want to be relaxed. You know, I don't want the nerves to be getting the better of me like they have done for the last two talks. But I mean, at the end of the day, I've got up there and I've done it, so I just need to look at that and kind of be safe in the knowledge. Like Mark Gwynne told me, he said you've plenty of friends over here anyway. He said Guernsey loves you already, so I mean that's great to know as well. So yeah, I wouldn't like to look at the negative now, Paul, if I can avoid it.
I was more curious to see what you'd say, okay, so that's why I just asked that.
Okay, yeah.
Just one last thing then, John, if people are inspired or intrigued or curious or want to get in touch with you, mm-hmm. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways, but one of the best would definitely be on my Twitter handle, which is at John M. Sweeney, or also my website, which is johnmsweeney.com. I'll be sending out a newsletter when the TED video is live, and the same with suspendedcoffees.com. I can be found there as well. So, just, yeah, if people are interested to find more, they're welcome to contact me or visit either of the two websites.
Thank you very much, John Sweeney.
Thank you.